listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I hope that you survived your manic Monday. The text I sent to producer Jay when I was waking up, survive in advance. Another NFL Sunday in the rearview mirror, though Monday, obviously the end of the football week, and we'll get back to Giants and Cowboys and kind of sift through now the aftermath of a full and completed week number 3. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As I mentioned, Monday media day for many NBA teams, not all of them, but it did include the Suns, the Nets. I know you want to hear from KD and Kyrie, and the Boston Celtics, who most recently have lost their head coach for the entire season, potentially forever. And even now, trust me, there are media outlets working to find out more of the details and to fill in more of the gaps because there isn't a lot of information. Joe Mazzulla takes over as the Boston Celtics head coach. We'll see how long it remains interim, but for now, he is the man.
You just have to stay empathetic. You have to stay poised, and you have to stay focused on, you know, what's the most important thing. And the most important thing for me is making sure that the players and myself are on the same page, making sure we're focused on the expectations that we have for this season from a basketball standpoint, and, you know, how we move forward together, building trust and building relationships. I think that's key. We have a formula for what we know we need to do in order to get better every single day and get back to where we want to get to. And so as much as we can focus on that, we'll be in good shape.
The voice of the Celtics' new head coach. But man, what a lot to process if you're a member of the organization and if you're a player showing up to tip off a brand new season in the wake of last year's NBA Finals appearance. We're pleased to welcome Gary Washburn, who covers the NBA and the Celtics for the Boston Globe and was there at Celtics Media Day hours ago. Gary, I'm intrigued. Before I ask you what you saw and what you heard, what were you expecting when you showed up for Celtics Media Day?
Really, I wasn't sure what to expect. Obviously, you know, the players are going to speak. They're going to give their first comments since all of this, you know, the suspension and, you know, the kind of dismissal of Ime Udoka went down. And it was pretty much that, you know, the players were kind of left to explain how they feel about their coach, their former coach, and their feelings. And a lot of them were confused, still unsure exactly what he did, unsure about some of the details of the situation. And, you know, so their thing was like, hey, like, this is what's going on. We're going to have to deal with it. But, yeah, like, I'm confused and I don't really know what to say about my former coach other than it's unfortunate. And that was kind of the coherent theme.
When you say dismissal, does that mean you don't believe he'll ever be back with the Celtics?
I don't think personally he'll coach the team again. I think that they'll come up with a resolution at the end of the year or during this year to kind of part ways. But I just think they're coming to grips with the fact that he's no longer the coach, that Joe Mazzulla is the coach, and that change has occurred, and they have no idea what happened and why.
So then, Gary, what did you hear from the players about how they found out and what the reaction has been over the past couple of days and how they move forward?
A lot of them found out, as we did, through Twitter or through social media.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, they found out about the initial thing, and then they had a meeting on Thursday with management to kind of let them know what was going on. Besides, you know, the fact that Udoka had a relationship, a consensual relationship with someone else in the organization, they don't know much else. So they're asking, well, why would this cause a year suspension? So some of the details from the investigation that was found out, that obviously management and, you know, ownership knows, the players really don't know. And that's what kind of came away with from the media day, was just the overall confusion from the players as to, like, what's going on here? Okay, you know, coach was, you know, had a relationship with someone in the organization. What else? What happened? And, you know, are those details just private? Can they not learn those things? It sounds like they want to know a little bit more before they can make a determination of how to feel about it. I think people were looking for them to condemn their coach and to say that he was wrong and he messed up. And I think a lot of players were like, before I say that, I want to know exactly what he did wrong. I mean, Marcus Smart said, you know, they still love him as a coach and he turned things around. But, you know, that was kind of the most supportive statements made. But it seemed like the players were like, we don't really know what to think of this. It sounds like it would behoove the organization to have some type of meeting with the players and offer some more clarity about it so they know how to feel. You know, it's hard to, you know, be angry or upset or resent someone or, you know, think less of someone when you don't quite know what they did. And I think that's the situation we have here.
Has anybody spoken to Ime?
No. The only person who said he spoke with him was the new interim coach, Joe Mazzulla, but it sounds like he has not spoken to the players since this situation has occurred, and I don't know if they've told him not to speak with the players or, you know, but it sounds like the players haven't heard from him. You know, it sounds like they've been left, like a lot of us around the organization who follow the team, trying to figure out what the hell happened. And, you know, that's not a really good and comfortable position you want your players in when they lose a coach. The whole thing is just very ugly, interesting, sad, unfortunate, you know, and a lot of things at this point.
We're spending a few minutes with Gary Washburn, who covers the NBA on a national scale, but was at Celtics Media Day on Monday for the Boston Globe. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Gary, why do you think the organization is keeping all of the details under wraps?
Well, I think that, one, they want to keep themselves out of any type of trouble in terms of a potential lawsuit from any of the parties involved. I think the Celtics want to move on. You know, this, I mean, as you know, I mean, when something like this happens, people are going to examine the entire organization as a whole, the organizational structure. Is the Boston Celtics organization a safe place to work for women? Is this happening around the organization? Are, you know, people dating their subordinates? Are subordinates for being somewhat pressured into relationships? Is this rampant around? Is it a toxic environment? You know, we saw the issues a few years ago, the Dallas Mavericks, where, you know, the team president had, you know, kind of harassed and approached and kind of threatened women, you know, because of his power, and they had to kind of do a house cleaning, you know. But the Celtics feel as if their organization is a safe place to work. They feel like this is a one-off. So they want to move forward with this and kind of divulge as less information as possible to protect all the parties. And, you know, and I guess their approach is kind of trust us. You know, we know what we're doing. We made this decision, and we have all the information to as a reason why we made this decision. This is not some You know, we don't have an axe to grind with Ime Udoka. This is not just about a workplace relationship that was just consensual. This is about a lot more that occurred, although they don't want to divulge the information. So it leaves people to try to seek information,
yes,
or listen, or the TMZs and all that, you know, where all this stuff is now coming out. So it's a very uncomfortable position for the organization, uncomfortable position for the players. And at this point, you know, who knows how this is all going to shake out.
You have been in this business for a long time. You've been a writer, a reporter. You've covered the team. And you mentioned TMZ. I even saw some information on ET Online. Because of who Ime Udoka's fiance is, there are going to be other websites and outlets who are interested in her personal life. But from your perspective, is it information that you would put out there, the details, or would you rather someone else come out with it?
I think if you're going to write something about this and you're going to try to, you know, divulge the details of exactly what happened, you better be right. You know, this is not a situation, you know, there's a lot of websites that are going to throw stuff, you know, out there because it's juicy. And it could be 75% right, 50% right. You know, I've read some things that I know that have been reported that are not true. And so you have to be careful in this situation because you're dealing with people's lives here. And I think, you know, Amy, the sad part about this whole situation, okay, is the son, who is now 11 years old.
Right.
Okay. And that's old enough to remember and to digest a lot of what's going on. He is not 3 or 2 or, you know, he's not playing in a playpen with toys, Legos or whatever. This kid is 11. Okay, so he watches TV, reads, might even have a cell phone, whatever. Okay, and he's got to, you know, read this about his father and his mother. I mean, that's the sad part about it. I'm sure he's devastated. I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed and devastated. So I think in this situation where you have NBA coach, you know, of one of the top franchises, an actress who has been in many movies, very much, you know, adored and appreciated by, you know, many members of the public, and it's, you know, well known that you're going to have, you know, all these, you know, websites, and it's going to be stuff that sprinkles out. As a reporter, you just have to, be right about it. If not, you leave it alone. And I said, I've read things that I know personally from other websites that are just untrue, that are being reported, and people are assuming. And that's the dangerous part. That's what got this whole, you know, people in trouble and people in hot water and women threatened in the first place, is when Twitter started to research, thinking they could find out who it was the woman, and they started posting pictures of female employees for the Celtics, many of whom, all but one, obviously, had nothing to do with it.
Right. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Gary Washburn with us from Boston. Well, let's pivot a little bit. Who is Joe Mazzulla? What do we know about this guy?
You know, former West Virginia player, played under Bob Huggins at West Virginia, was a point guard, and, you know, then got into, you know, was a Division II head coach, and then worked his way up and was Celtics assistant coach under Brad Stevens in 2019, 34 years old, you know, a man of faith. And you know, Amy, you know, he has in his past a 2009 battery charge when he was at West Virginia. That's something that he's had to explain for years. And it sounds like, and getting to know Coach Mazzulla, that he has done a complete 180. He's found God. He's a man of faith. He's a man who has just changed his life since then. So I know, and he, you know, he addressed that today and said he's a different person, and he's asked for forgiveness, and he's obviously been able to explain the situation enough to get on an NBA coaching staff and now be an NBA head coach. You know, so the question is, well, does one, you know, really bad mistake, one misdoing, should that affect your entire career? You know, especially something you did in college. So, you know, people will have to debate that. You know, he was asked about that today and explained it. And some people are thinking it's a bad look to make him the interim coach, giving that transgression that happened 13 years ago. But they think very highly of him. They think very highly of the man that he's become. And, you know, he's has the support of the players. He's a positive influence on them. He coached a summer league team a couple years ago. So I think they feel like they're in good hands, although, you know, we're going to have to see. No one knows how a 34-year-old with no, you know, who never played in the NBA, no head coaching experience, thrown into the fire like this. It wasn't like he a month ago he knew he was going to be coach. This is something new. We don't know how this is going to translate.
Jaylen Brown actually was the subject of some trade rumors, whether there was any substance behind them or whether it was just speculation. But what did he have to say about maybe being flipped for Kevin Durant at some point?
I don't think he was happy, he said today. You know, he had a discussion with Manson about it, and it's time to move forward, but he feels good. He feels 100%. He feels committed to the organization. But, you know, I don't. It sounded, and I know that he wasn't exactly pleased with it, but he understands that this is the NBA's a business, and a lot of players have been traded. You know, Shaq got traded. You know, Kareem got traded. There is a lot of players who have been great players who have been traded in their careers. So it's not a disrespect to Jaylen Brown to be in trade talks for Kevin Durant, but I think this whole thing with Udoka kind of overshadowed that. So I think they're looking at Jaylen and saying, hey, man, like, you know, we need you. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Jaylen and the Celtics in coming years when he's up for an extension and whether they're going to invest enough, you know, to bring him and make him a Celtic long term because he's got two more years left of his contract. But I think for now the two sides are committed to each other and he's ready.
Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe is with us after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Lots of information, lots of uncertainty, obviously, moving forward. But before I let you go, Gary, I want to ask you about the story that you wrote in the wake of the news first coming out about Ime. You said that he was selfish and unprofessional, which makes sense. But you said that the Celtics needed to be blamed for this mess, too. How come?
Well, I felt like they didn't. First of all, the story was leaked, and someone who knew what was going on and knew some of the details leaked the story. So someone from the organization, you know, relayed information to someone who either leaked it or someone from the organization leaked the story. I can't guarantee that, it was leaked by someone in the organization, but someone knew something. And secondly, to wait nearly 24 hours after the leak to make a statement really put a lot of women in the work organization in a bad spot. And I'm not particularly sure what the Celtics could have done to prevent the speculation, but they could have done something to attempt to prevent it, to attempt to, you know, put some kind of statement, sum up what was going on and what was happening, whether they're, hey, we're investigating it at this point. We have no further comment. You know, respond to these rumors, get ahead of the story, and try to protect the women in the organization from this speculation. Now, would that have worked 100%? Maybe not, because obviously the Twitter gangsters they're going to be nonstop. But I just have nothing, you know, no statement, nothing till about 10:30 the next night. I felt like it was very unfair to the organization, very unfair. And there's a way they probably could have worded it to make it, you know, clear that, you know, this is how they feel. Whether it's, hey, we don't know, but we're looking into it. We're investigating. We'll have no further comment. We'll comment when it's appropriate. Something in the daytime when that news cycle is churning and people are at work looking, trying to figure out who it is, what's going on. Respond somehow to try to protect your organization and protect the people in it.
Knowing what you know of these players, because ultimately they're the ones who are on the court, how confident are you that they can find their focus and move forward and be ready for the season?
Well, they're going to have to because, the season isn't going to stop. You know, this team still has championship aspirations. They still feel strongly about their chances. So the train isn't going to stop. So they are going to have to get over this and put on you know, their adult, you know, pants and move forward. And even though it's not going to be easy and there's probably some things they'll be thinking about in the back of their mind, eventually when practice begins and the ball is on the court and guys are, you know, working hard, running the court, sweating and getting back to what they do, I think it will slowly move. They'll slowly move forward and get ready for the season. I mean, they got a preseason game on Sunday, so there's no time to lament this and cry over spilled milk. It's happened. It's done. They got to move forward.
You can find Gary on Twitter at G Washburn, W-A-S-H-B-U-R-N, Globe. So covers the NBA. And today was Celtics Media Day for the Boston Globe. And on his Twitter, you can find a lot more information and quotes from the players as they're now speaking out for the first time. Gary, it's always good to connect with you. I know it's been a really long day, so thank you for a few minutes.
Okay, thank you, Amy.
It's a lot there to process. I mean, even as you found out for the first time on social or by listening to the show, the players actually found out that their coach was in hot water and in danger of suffering major discipline on social media and didn't have a team meeting until Thursday. And they don't have much more information than the rest of us do. So I appreciate the thoughtfulness of Gary. Why is the team keeping this under wraps? And would he want to be the one who reports this? Because it does seem like in this particular situation that there are a lot of reporters in the sports industry who actually don't want the information to come out. I don't know. It's interesting to me. I understand Gary thinking about the 11-year-old and the fact that these are people with real lives, and yet every athlete is a person with a real life, and many of them are married and have kids. And I don't know, in this particular situation, there seems to be some protection being offered to the woman in this case. And I think that's fascinating. Obviously, speculation hurts a lot of people, but there are certainly people out there who know who this woman is. There's not that many women in the Celtics organization, and the details that have come out about her so far would certainly allow some to narrow it down. And before long, TMZ or another website that doesn't necessarily have the same scruples will come forward with a name. I agree with Gary on this point, to be sure. If you're going to report this, make sure what you report is accurate. Now, not everybody has that same ethical standard for their work, but I would agree with that. And that's always the approach that I take. But as for the Celtics, I'm getting set for basketball. Maybe that will offer them some relief and distraction, an opportunity to put this aside and focus on what they know and what they do the best. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page. Celtics weren't the only ones to speak on Monday. Crazy that it took the Celtics and the Suns off-court scandals to put Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the back burner. Those two. I'd almost forgotten how they turned the start of the offseason on its head. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to say, see you Monday and morph into a Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Obviously, we're an interesting topic. We got a lot going on with our team. You know, uncertainty with Ben not playing last year, us being swept in the playoffs. Kyrie situation, being a free agent, you know, so there's a lot of uncertainty with our team. So I understand why so much noise around us, but as individuals, just control what you can and move forward.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Remember when Kevin Durant was not supposed to be the big story for the Brooklyn Nets? It was actually Kyrie Irving and his future and whether or not the Nets would trade him or if he would choose to opt into the final year of his deal. And then on the heels of Kyrie choosing to opt in and stay with the Nets, Kevin Durant asks for a trade. And then a little bit later, he doubles down. And in a meeting with Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, he says either the coach and the GM go or I go. Huh. That escalated quickly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Remind me the name of the podcast that audio was from. The Etc. podcast. That goes back to late June when, again, the big story was whether or not Kyrie would be back with the team, not if Kevin Durant would be back with the team. Of course, he spins it in a way that makes him look good. KD to the media on Monday because he wasn't traded.
I know I'm that good that you're just not going to give me away. So that's one thing I did appreciate about Sean and Joe. It's like, yeah, you're too great for us to give you away. Just that easy, that simple. So I get that. I know who I am.
They're coming here to play with me. All I can think of is how similar he sounds to Aaron Rodgers.
People are coming here to play with me.
Yeah. So Kevin Durant says, I'm just too good for a team to give me away.
Come on, bro.
There's accuracy in that, I suppose. Never have to worry about complimenting KD because he will compliment himself. He already knows it. The meeting that he refers to between the powers that be for the Nets and KD happened to clear the air. It was kind of the last thing we heard before it was determined that KD would be staying in Brooklyn, at least for this year. Now, he has, what, 4 years on this brand new extension? So they don't have to do jack, and he would have to choose play or don't play. But he has agreed, I guess, that he will stay and play in Brooklyn with Kyrie. So ultimately, both want out and neither one goes anywhere. But the meeting with Joe, who is the owner, Joe Tsai, and Sean Marks, who's the general manager, and Steve Nash, who's the coach, at least for now. Watch your back, Steve. Watch your six. That was the one in which they told him, we're not just going to trade you for a spare pair of athletic socks and a pair of your shoes. Like, we're going to need to get enough for you in return. And so I guess that was a compliment to KD where he realizes, oh, well, I'm that good. They can't just give me away.
I know I'm that good that it's not going to give me away.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, that's not the last time we'll hear that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So are you upset that you're still a member of the Brooklyn Nets?
I wasn't disappointed. I still love to play. I knew that wasn't going to be affected. You know, regardless of what happened in the summer, I was not going to let it affect it, the work that needs to be put out on the court when it's time. So, you know, that's what I lean on, just having fun playing ball. And I knew that's one thing that wasn't going to stop regardless. Plenty of talks with Steve and Sean throughout the season about how I was feeling and what I felt we needed to change as a team and as an organization and where I see my career. And we had plenty of conversations. So they know me, you know, so and they know how much I care about the game of basketball, my teammates, and wanting to win. So we all jumped on the same page. It was pretty simple.
So Kevin Durant is seeing it from his perspective. What about the perspective of Kyrie Irving hearing that KD had asked to leave Brooklyn?
It's just a lot, like hearing Kev want a trade request. I opt in. It's awkward. It's very awkward. I'm sitting at home like, I don't know what to think of it, but because there's a trust that we have within each other, I just ultimately want to see him do well and be happy. So if that wasn't within our organization, I was going to have to accept that and move on. And I knew that I could move on and get to a place where I knew Kev could be comfortable and everybody could be comfortable, Sean, Joe, just our whole entire family and culture in which we speak on. I think it needed you know, some honest conversations, and that's what we did this summer, and that's what we had. So to reflect on it, I hope I answered a little bit of it. You know, there's a big timeline, a lot of days in the summer where the off season has taking its own emotions and courses and, you know, thoughts on what's going to happen. So I tried to just center in on what I want to accomplish, and that was just focusing on being the best teammate I can be and being on a great team and what that means to me and really embodying that action every single day and not just saying it. So I don't want to get too wordy or too preachy up here, but I had a lot of time to think, and making the decision to come back to Brooklyn was the best one for me, best one for me to fit in here and just figure it out along the way as we get this party started.
I'm not sure if you saw the headline, but in addition to Kyrie sharing his authentic reaction to Kevin Durant requesting a trade, he also indicated that his decision to remain unvaccinated cost him $100 million. I mean, I don't know how you would ever measure that. I guess it's not just salary, but it's also endorsements and that type of thing. He says that he gave up a future extension to remain unvaccinated as well. This is coming from Kyrie. I gave up 4 years, 100 and something million, deciding to be unvaccinated. And that was the decision. Get this contract, get vaccinated, or be unvaccinated. And there's a level of uncertainty of your future, whether you're going to be in this league, whether you're going to be on this team. So I had to deal with that real life circumstance of losing my job for this decision. Well, okay. Maybe what he's saying is true, that he would have made a lot more money had he agreed to get vaccinated. And so he would already have a contract extension, I think is the point. But he got paid while he was not playing last year. So the real life decision of a real life circumstance of losing his job, he was really only on the shelf until the Nets were ready to say, okay, we'll bend the rules for you. Remember, this was the Nets' decision to not allow him to play in road games. The NBA would have allowed him to play anywhere. It was a New York City rule that kept him off the court for not being vaccinated and out of the locker room and all that jazz. So the NBA wasn't saying you can't play. The Nets were the ones that said we can't have a part-time point guard, part-time Kyrie Irving. But to kind of compare this to him losing his job is, I don't know. I think that's a little disingenuous because he was still getting paid. He was on paid hiatus, paid sabbatical, paid leave, if you will. I supported him making his choice. I was pro-vaccine, just not pro-mandates, and the mandates made no sense anyway. But I don't think his situation is quite like law enforcement, teachers, medical workers who actually lost their jobs in the New York City area because they would not get vaccinated, because they chose to make that decision for themselves. But, you know, Kyrie always has an interesting way of saying things. The Brooklyn Nets, the Boston Celtics, the Phoenix Suns, all talking about off-season circumstances that really don't have much to do with getting ready for a season, but it's coming. And another popular sports figure, one that I think a lot of people would like to hear from right about now, though it hasn't happened yet. I'll explain.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Paid a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center zoning into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. Los Angeles Rams.
Five first downs for the Rams. They're set up at the top of the red zone from the 20. It's a jet sweep. Cooper Kupp's got the edge. 20, 10. Cooper Kupp, speed to Bird. Touchdown, LA! Did Cooper Kupp score today? It's Sunday, of course he did. Keep the streak alive.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts back. Hurts looking. Hurts firing. Devontae Smith, touchdown! He caught it in the corner of the end zone. Again, he went skyward.
The Slim Reaper.
How did they get that off? You know what? They don't have a number one and a number two receiver. They have two number ones, Brown and Smith.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Cousins out of the shotgun with no timeouts, trailing 24-21. Takes the snap, straight drop. He's going to fire right. Yes! T.J. Osborne! You're so cold-blooded! Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken a 27-24 lead.
And this place has woken up.
The Indianapolis Colts.
16th play of the drive, 29 seconds left. It is 2nd and 10 to the 12-yard line. Colts down by 4. Ryan backs the pass, looking, fires upfield into the end zone. It is caught. Jelani Woods, touchdown, INDY! Two touchdowns today for the rookie. And the Colts with 6 more on the board. They lead it 19-17 with 24 seconds to play.
I do not have any idea how we're going to choose the After Hours TD of the week, but man, these are four incredible candidates, all for different reasons. So, Cooper Kupp, 9 straight games with a touchdown, but his first ever career rushing touchdown. One hand off, of course, he goes 20 yards for the score. Yeah, one time that he handles the ball out of the backfield, and that's it. 9 straight games and 120-yard touchdown on the ground. J.B. Long with the call on Rams Radio. Devontae Smith with a record first half for the Eagles as the Eagles remain undefeated. This is a receiver I could watch play all day long, but 156 yards in the first half at Washington, 7 catches, most of them of the insanely impressive and acrobatic variety, plus the touchdown in the corner of the end zone where he skies up over the top of his defender. That's Merrill Reese. Then you hear in Vikings radio with Paul Allen, 45 seconds left, a game winner for the Vikings as they rally past the Lions, and they do it with K.J. Osborne. Really, a couple of long catch plays by him, the 28 yards for the score. And finally, with 24 seconds to go, the Colts stun the Chiefs. Matt Ryan finds the rookie, Jelani Woods, and Matt Taylor has the call on Colts Radio. So we've got the poll up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, just now crossing, overlapping, I should say, with our Monday mortification. And if you haven't checked out the results of that poll, well, then maybe you don't realize that there's more crossover here between these two. So check out both Monday mortification as well as the TD of the week. You can vote on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and on the Facebook page. This is it's a Monday, really, kind of a Monday modus operandi, if you will, in which we're always sifting through the rubble of what happened over the weekend. And a lot of times that includes injuries. So we're going to give you an update on some of the injuries coming up after the top. QB news specifically, because we've got the latest on a couple of quarterbacks who are suffering. And so we'll get to that. And also some other injuries that will keep players out for a while or maybe the entire season. It's always part of football. It's the part that I hate on Monday is when we hear about a lot of these injuries. Speaking of, though, really cool to see Dak Prescott yelling, screaming, exhorting, encouraging, hovering around Cooper Rush when he was on the Cowboys bench and knowing that Dak is very involved and could actually return sometime in the next couple of weeks. So the Dallas Cowboys are sitting pretty with Cooper Rush as their backup QB. Not sure how long they can keep him around. He may have an opportunity to start somewhere else, but I'm happy for him and certainly happy for the family of Cooper Rush that we saw so much of when he made his first start last year on Monday Night Football. It's After Hours.
It's Cooper Clutch.
Cooper Clutch. After Hours with Cooper Clutch here on CBS Sports Radio. As I teased before the update, there is one athlete, former athlete, that a lot of people would like to hear from. And so far, nothing coming from that arena. And that's Brett Favre. Not sure if you heard the latest. And this is going to continue to happen with Brett, even if it's not some big announcement that's made. But SiriusXM NFL Radio has suspended his appearances, weekly appearances that he was doing as a show host who was breaking down kind of what we saw on the football weekend. That was happening every Tuesday. So he's not appearing on Tuesdays anymore on SiriusXM. And now with the civil lawsuit, and he's part of that civil lawsuit, has not been charged in this massive welfare scandal coming out of Mississippi. And he's continued to say through his attorneys that he did not know the origin of the money that he was asking for to build a new volleyball facility at the University of Southern Miss, even though there are text messages that seem to indicate that after he was told by the former governor of the state that using welfare funds to build sports arenas could be illegal, he went ahead and pressed for the money. But right now, he's radioactive. He's toxic, and really nobody in the sports industry wants anything to do with him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.